You see, when I look back now, I notice that God was trying to get my attention. You see, when God speaks, He's not limited to human voice. God doesn't just use reverb on His voice to say, "I'm God, 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 God." No, He uses all kinds of things. He uses storms, as He did with Jonah. Sometimes you'll use pain, maybe a setback or a bankruptcy or an agitated heart or a broken relationship. You see, God's not limited to one voice, but He'll use whatever method we will listen to.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. God has a lot of ways of getting our attention. Well, today Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Getting Our Attention. This message was given at the Stan Sheriff Arena on the campus of the University of Hawaii. And on that day, we had a very special guest, Bethany Hamilton, a Christian surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack. Before today's message, here is Pastor Wayne to talk to Bethany.
Well, Bethany's with us today, and we would like you to give a warm welcome. Come on up, Bethany. She's nervous enough already. Don't make her any more nervous. Bethany, it's great to have you with us. You already surfed this weekend when you came here, huh?
Yeah, I did.
You were at the North Shore. Mm-hmm. Catch some good waves.
Yeah, I got
and
some pretty fun.
How big were they?
It was like head high.
Head high, yeah. Well, those I stay away from. I do the ones, you know, in my bathtub. But your life has been quite a whirlwind since that event last year.
Yeah.
Now rewind the tape for me and kind of tell us what went through your mind when that took place.
Well, you know, that morning was just one hectic morning, okay?
Early in the morning you were out there.
All I can say is that, like, right now, I don't know what I would be doing without Jesus because He's been like there for me from the very beginning. And that morning, like, me, Alana, Holt, and Byron, we all paddled out. We were surfing a spot called Tunnels.
Yeah.
And we were out for a half hour, and out of nowhere, a shark just came and attacked me, and nobody saw it. It was a total, like, surprise. And
you just had one hand just kind of hanging in the water? You were resting,
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, I was, like, waiting for a set. And then everyone just came over and got worked together to paddle me in. And
you actually took that surfboard with a chunk out of it and you just kind of paddled in with one arm? Were you bleeding like crazy?
Well, just for a little bit. And then Holt paddled me in. But that day, like, the whole way in, I was, like, just praying and talking aloud because they didn't want me to pass out, and
they got you to the hospital,
and everything.
You're thirsty, yeah.
Yeah.
And now when you got to the hospital, you just healed so quickly. I mean, you're back surfing already, and what helped you get through this so quickly?
Well, obviously, God definitely made me get through this.
Oh, yeah. Now, how long have you known the Lord? It's been a long time, or?
Well, I accepted Him when I was about 5, and just ever since then, I've just grew stronger and stronger.
Now, what are your plans? Still go pro surfer, or do you know?
I don't know. I could have a future in just doing ministries for God. I could even do it by surfing, like, because a lot of people, like, look at me as that surfer girl with one arm. But then when they look at me, someday I just want them to look at me as that Christian surfer girl
That's
with one
good.
Arm.
That's good. That's so cool. Isn't that great? Now, obviously, there's some new challenges, because if I just had one arm, I'd go in circles all day long paddling. So you've got to, I mean, is there a new technique you have to learn? Because I saw you on the video surfing. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, it just slowly came on. Like, at first I had a hard time, and I slowly got easier and easier. Yeah.
Well, when it's all done and said, Bethany, what do you want the world to know you for? You know, it's all done, you're surfed and everything. What do you want to be known for?
That Christian surfer girl. I want to be known as this girl that just has a strong love for the Lord, and that, like, someone that's, like, kind to others and just, like...
Well, the Lord has really kept you. You know, because a lot of people could have gotten bitter, they could have given up, but you haven't. You've come to the top of your game, and we're so proud of you, and that you're showing all of us that whatever we go through with Jesus' help, we can do well. Can you say amen to that?
And now, here's Pastor Wayne Cordero with the message, Getting Our Attention.
You know, everything begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so easy to just kind of come to church and hear about God and hear about this thing and sort of cry out to Him when only you need help, but you'll miss the whole life that He has planned, a life of joy, a life that when things, because He doesn't get us immune from problems, but when things go wrong, He's there with us every step of the way, and He'll help us to get better, not bitter. It'll become a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And God walks us through the valleys of the shadow of death. But you say, Wayne, how can I, instead of stumbling over the bunch of stuff I stumble over, is there a way that God can kind of guide me before I stumble? Yeah. You ever have God speak to you? If He did, what would His voice sound like? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to God.com and ask Him any question you wanted to? Well, if you could hear His voice, what would it sound like? And can you mistake His voice? I mean, can you misinterpret His voice? Yeah. There's a Portuguese fisherman named Mano. And when he was in the mainland, he heard about ice fishing, because you don't have it over here. So he went to try it. He got a bunch of books on the subject. And after getting all of the necessary items, he made it for the nearest frozen lake. And after positioning his footstool, he started to make a circular cut in the ice, and suddenly from the sky, a voice said, "There are no fish under the ice." And startled, Mantle just thought, oh, and he moved further down then. He started cutting again, and a voice came out, "There are no fish under the ice." Now Mantle, he's kind of startled this time, so he moves way down to the opposite end, and he starts to cut another hole, and a voice comes out of the sky once more, "Man, there is no fish under the ice." And Mantle stopped and looked up to the sky and said, "Is that you, Lord?" And the voice replied, like it's coming over a loudspeaker, said, "No, I'm the manager of this ice rink." He said, "Well, Wayne, is God interested enough to speak to us still today? I mean, really, to guide us?" He really does. He did in the Bible. He spoke to so many in the Bible. Remember, He got Moses' attention through the burning bush. And David, you'll hear him often in the Bible, inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. Elijah, God got his attention as He spoke to him out of a whirlwind. Balaam, He got Balaam's attention through speaking through a donkey. Peter, He got his attention, used a rooster. And He got Samson's attention when Samson just insisted on destroying his life. Till the end, the Philistines actually put out Samson's eyes, and he thought, "Oh, you got my attention, God." And he kind of awoke in pain. You ever been awakened by pain? You know, that happened to me. I had sprained my ankle so bad in a soccer game some years ago in Oregon. And I was living in Oregon, going to school there, and I sprained it so bad. When I went to the doctor said, "Wayne, it would have been better if you would have broken your ankle, because you twisted it so badly and mangled it. It would have been better if your bone had broken, and it wouldn't have twisted it so bad, and we can set your bone. But now you're going to be in pain." No, I was in pain. And I remember going up to Portland. I had a speaking engagement, and when I was done, I had to drive 2 hours south to Eugene, where we lived, and I was so tired, and my ankle was just throbbing, and you know, you've got it on the gas, and I hate this, and it's 2 hours, and it's really, really late at night, and so I'm actually kind of drifting off. You ever done that? 60 miles an hour, 55, down the freeway, and going down the freeway, and I'm just nodding off, and sometimes I nod off, and all of a sudden, adrenaline shoots into my bloodstream because I'm starting to drift off the freeway, and then you think, how long have I been asleep? How long? And you're just kind of straightening out the car, and I started drifting off, slapping my face, doing everything I could to stay awake, but I kept drifting off to sleep, and I knew I was going to die. So I was just so tired, so I just finally just pulled over to this exit. I don't know, even know where it is to this day. And there was this little gas station there, and there was this little shed next to the gas station. I pulled up into the parking lot and just put it into park, my light's still on, and the engine's still running, and I fell asleep because I knew I had to just sleep. So I'm asleep now, and I am dreaming that I'm still on the freeway. And I'm saying to myself, get up! Get up. Have you ever done that? Get up! You're drifting off to sleep, and you're going off the freeway. And I'm just fast asleep. Car is running right next to this shed. Light's still on. Get up! You're drifting! And all of a sudden, I felt like I was drifting off, headed right for this brick building in my dream. And I'm saying, get up! Quick, and I wake up, and there's a building right in front of me, and I scream, and I slam on the brake with my bad ankle, and the pain that shot through my body, and the fear of running into this wall, and then after I realize, I tell you, God got my attention that day. I should have been dead. And you know, God gets our attention, and I mean, I awoke in pain. And God had I had never felt so much pain and so much fear in one emotion in all my life. God gets our attention one way or the other. He did throughout the Bible. And the one that I want to talk about is a person in the Bible named Jonah. We call him Wrong Way Jonah. It must have been a very important lesson that Jonah gives to us and leaves to us, because he named a whole book after this one guy. That's running away from God. God told Jonah, go to this place called Nineveh, about 100,000 people, fierce warriors. And God said, I love them. I want to give them a chance, a second chance. I want to give them grace. So I want you to go and tell them. Tell them that I love them, but tell them they need to repent. Now, Jonah does not want to do what God wants him to do. So instead of going one way, he catches a boat to a place called Tarshish, which is on the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. He's going the exact opposite way. You ever do that? You ever have God tell you one thing and do another? We all have. And that's exactly what Jonah did. Let's read about it. Top of our notes, Jonah 1:1. Would you read it out with me, nice and strong in this place? Let's fill it with what God's scripture is saying. Go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Underline, from the presence of the Lord. He decided to go the other way. I remember when I was in a Catholic boarding school, everything came crashing down. They found drugs in my locker. It wasn't my fault. And I caught me stealing wine. It wasn't my fault. And I just became an angry man because they were about to kick me out. Just at the same time, my mom passed away. And they kicked me out at the same time. And I was angry, broken. I was mad. I was put into another high school. I dropped out of that high school. And I just went away from God as far as I could for 5 years. I played rock and roll music, heavy metal music, because that's the only way that I could express my anger. I went as far as I could away from God into darkness. And you know, Jonah did the same thing. God saw Jonah going the wrong way fast. And he knew that one day he would end up in Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And so God intercepted intercepted Jonah. I'm sure God spoke to him again and again and again, but we can get numb to the voice of God. We can get numb to his cries for us, getting our attention. And he does it in many ways, through speaking, through a friend, through pain, through whatever it might be. But he gets our attention. We just start to get numb towards God's voice. And when that happens, he has to use stricter means. You remember, you know, we all get numb to stuff. Remember when we first got those aftermarket alarm systems in cars that would go weep, 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 weep. And so all of us thought, oh, I got this thing in my car. I know when my car is being messed around with, because that's the most unique alarm there is. Until everybody got the same alarm. And now you hear it going off all the time in shopping centers and nobody cares. Isn't that right? They just walk by, weep, weep, they just walk right by. Who cares? Someone's stealing in that car. Oh, I don't care. And we just get numb to that stuff. Well, we can do that with God and God's voice. We get numb and the Lord speaks to us and the Lord speaks and tries to get our attention, but we don't catch it. Well, how does God then get our attention? Well, Jonah got onto a boat going the opposite way, and he hits the most unusual storm. In fact, the Bible calls it a great storm. Not just a storm, a great storm. Would you write, number one, how does God get our attention? One of the ways is God gets our attention through great storms. Through great storms. Happens in our life. Let's read Jonah 1:4 together. Go. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Yeah, it was that bad. It was no ordinary storm. So they start to ask Jonah some questions to find out on whose account is this weird storm happening? Whose account? How come this weird storm is happening when it shouldn't be happening? And so they question him. Whose attention is God trying to get? And Jonah answers. Let's read it. Go. Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that funny? Those guys on that ship didn't even know the Lord. They probably worshiped other gods. Yet they knew that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. People who don't even know God know when I'm running. And you know when you're running. I know when I'm running from God. I know. Because I know, because God is knocking at the door of my heart. When I ran from God as far as I could, I started playing rock and roll music, getting as dark as I could and the things that are wrong. And I was just playing heavy metal music, but God was knocking at the door of my heart. Something was missing. I knew it. Revelation 3:20 tells us that. Let's read this together. Go. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You see, when I look back now, I notice that God was trying to get my attention because there was a great storm inside of me. You see, when God speaks, he's not limited to human voice. God doesn't just use reverb on his voice to say, I'm God, 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 God. No, he uses all kinds of things. He uses storms. As he did with Jonah. Sometimes you'll use pain to get our attention. Like Peter, roosters. Maybe a setback or a bankruptcy or an agitated heart or a broken relationship. A betrayal, maybe a loneliness. You see, God's not limited to one voice, but he'll use whatever method we will listen to. Whatever method will get our attention. And I remember in Portland, Oregon, though I was playing music, I was busy, but I was going nowhere. There was something missing. It was like a car that's just slowly spinning its tires in the mud, just going nowhere. And something was missing. You see, there's a man named Pascal that said, in the heart of every man is a God-shaped void. and it can only be filled with the Lord. And we try to fill it with all kinds of other things, even religious things, but it can only be filled with God. And then we become what the Bible calls complete. And it was one day in Portland, I was alone. Maybe I hadn't processed my mother's death enough, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Shortly around that time, my sister had died in a car accident, and I just felt so alone. I don't know if you ever feel that way sometimes, but you just feel like you're the only person in the earth. You see, not only does God use great storms to get our attention, He'll also use, would you write in number two, through isolation. Through isolation. God just makes you all alone. And that's exactly what happened, because you see, Jonah said to the guys, I'm running from God, and God's getting my attention. That's why the storm. Just throw me overboard. Just throw me overboard. I mean, he was that desperate. They throw him overboard. I mean, wouldn't you? I would. Threw him overboard. And the Bible says a great fish, we don't know if it's a whale, but let's just call it a whale. This great fish, like a whale, swallows him. And the Bible says he's 3 days and three nights in the bile of this fish's belly. And he's gasping for air, trying to keep himself alive for 3 days. All alone. And then let's read here the scripture in Jonah 1:17. Go. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights, completely alone and isolated. I can think of a lot better ways to cruise the Mediterranean than in the bile of a fish's stomach. But when he was thrown overboard, he's rejected, now isolated from God. Sometimes we find ourselves in that situation too. You might find yourself in a marriage where the only thing that you have in common with your spouse is that you live at the same address. That's it. Maybe your relationships turn shallow or sour. A life that's hollow or just empty. Empty of promise, void, vacant. Or maybe a lost job or broken promise, dreams just not materializing. You just feel unloved and maybe not rejected, just not included. And God is getting our attention. I remember when I just felt so alone, it was like God was weaning me off of all the things that I thought would give me identity and value. Music, friends, getting stoned with friends. And I thought, that's it. If I can just keep those friends and they like me and I like them, great. All of a sudden, I felt alone. It's completely alone. They had drifted off, started doing other things. The group broke up, and I was all alone. And God was actually weaning me off of people in order to connect me back to God. Because sometimes we depend on others, and we think, yeah, if we just get these friendships and relationships, then we're fine. And God sometimes has to get us alone so that we realize that we don't have that. The only one we need is the Lord. It was Hezekiah in the Old Testament. He got really sick because God wanted to get his attention because he was getting proud and drifting. And when he got well, he left the Lord again. And then God had to isolate him for a while. Let's read together 2 Chronicles about what God did with Hezekiah. Go. God left him alone, only to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. You see, Hezekiah's heart was going bad, and God had to leave him alone. He cried out for friends, cried out for help, and no one answered. People will leave you a lot of times, but Jesus will not. And I say it this way, sometimes I don't realize that Jesus is all I need until Jesus is all I got. And then he weans me off. He'll isolate us, and you'll realize that all you need is the Lord. Just like Bethany on the gurney going into the surgery room, you realize Jesus is all that you need, and he is the one that we need.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Getting Our Attention by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. For Pastor Wayne, this is Dill Gibbs reminding you what God says. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.